Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 23. Hebrews 10, 23. Let us, and this is by no means exhaustive. I could come to you with 20 scriptures. If I could show you a list of all the times humans are faithful, it'd run real short. But if I show you all the scriptures where God is faithful, it runs for miles. So I picked some big ones, and maybe it'll get your thoughts going. It might be an encouragement to you how to learn to trust God and why you can trust God. A lot of things say, well, I trust God because He's God. Well, amen, but let's develop that thought. Hebrews 10:23 says this, "Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for He is faithful that promised." To hold fast, what does that mean, Sarah? Not just to stand, to grab and hold on to. Don't move. To hold fast means hold your place. Let us hold fast, let me find my verse here, the profession of our faith. What's the profession of faith? See, these are words you need, when you're studying your Bible, you need to think about what is it saying? What does it mean to profess faith? Okay, it's hold fast what you say you believe. Okay, what you profess to believe, you ought to live by. You ought to dig into. So let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering. What does wavering mean? What do you think, young'un? Being not of two minds? I don't have one. How can I be of two? But okay, all right, not being indecisive, but wavering is kind of, I'm looking for a little bit different. What do you think about wavering? Moving aside, Andrew? Okay, I like the word unsteady. Nothing wavering. My mom and my dad, this was years ago, I was about 10 years old, we were driving through Colorado, and the mountains were soaring 16,000 feet into the sky. They were snow-capped. We were going through in the summer. We were driving along the mountains around us, and we came to a bridge. It's called the Royal Gorge. I didn't know what a gorge was, all right? Gorge means drop-off. There was a ravine a mile down, 5,000 feet, and there was this suspension. How many know what a suspension bridge is? You ever walked on a suspension bridge? You know, it can sway. All right. Anyway, we got up there, and my mom saw this little sign. I think it should have been saying smaller. This little sign that says, "Warning, bridge may swing with the wind." My mom grabbed my dad's arm and said, "Turn around." Because we're not going on a road that wavers. She's just afraid of heights. So we had to turn around. It took 4 hours for us to make the trip that would have taken 15 minutes to cross. Oh, we were so sad. But you understand when it says nothing wavering, you want to live by something that doesn't change. And you want to have a faith that doesn't change. And so we're going to learn how to trust, maybe through these scriptures, how to trust the faithfulness, the dependableness, the unchangeableness of God. So, why do people give up on God? Do you ever wonder why people quit? Why they get upset? Why they say jump ship? Well, it's because I kind of boil it down to three or four different reasons. But one big reason is because they don't understand God's faithfulness. You know what they worry about? Their faithfulness. How many in here, and I'm talking to the Sunday night, talking to the choir, but how many people have you known that they come and they get excited and then they're gone? You know, what happens is people start to see that they're undependable. They see flaws in their own character. They find themselves falling into sin, even after being saved. And what happens is they say, "Why try?" You've never felt that, have you? You ever thought, "I wish I could just quit. I can't live this. I can't." You ever felt that? You're misunderstanding the reason why we are Christians. I'm a Christian not because I'm faithful. I'm a Christian because He is faithful. When you don't understand the faithfulness of God, you're worried about the faithfulness of you. So, faithfulness is the foundation of God's character. What is His character? He's dependable. He's reliable. He is dedicated to what He sets out to do. Now, this is a reminder just how faithful God is. How He will never change. Somebody was telling me, it was on the way taking Hugh back to the train station this afternoon. He said something was on the radio, or maybe it was on TV, I don't know. He said a current events program, maybe it was TV3 or whatever, is going on asking kids about homosexuality and about being, quote, Catholic and Christian. And none of the kids ever mentioned God. None of the young people ever mentioned the Bible. None of them. All they did was said, oh yeah, man, that's the right thing. I think Jesus would have been... Da-da-da. And every one of them have this idea that God has changed. Guess what? He don't change. Alright? I want to remind you just how faithful God is, how He will never change, how He seeks for us to learn to lean on Him. No matter... go to Malachi 3:6. I want to just look at this, and we'll start with our scriptures. Brother Dan, Malachi 3:6. Malachi chapter 3 and verse 6. If you want to know where it is, find Matthew and then go left. The very next book back is Malachi. Or as they say out in the we'll talk, Malachi. Malachi chapter 3 and verse 6.
For I am the Lord, I change not, therefore you shall be taken and not be changed.
Now he's, listen. That sounds like my mother. She says, you know, if I weren't your mother, I'd kill you. God says, the only reason why you're not consumed, why you're not destroyed, is why? Because God doesn't change. Isn't that a good verse? Whew. Wow. All right. So, God is faithful. He will never change. And He seeks to us to lean hard on His faithfulness toward us, no matter how low we may be, and no matter how far we may go away from Him. God is faithful, which means you can depend on Him. So, let me compare something here. And we're going to see the difference. Go to Galatians chapter 4 and verse 8. Miss Kathy, Galatians 4 and verse 8. Let's compare the gods of this world with our God. Galatians 4 in verse 8. There, Kathy. Right, the key word there is by nature. What makes God God is His nature. It's what He is. I worship God for who He is and what He is, not for what He does. You know, a lot of people, they will worship their wallet because of what their wallet constantly gives them. They will worship their friends because of what their friends do for them. Do you understand? People worship gods that, by nature, do things for them. Charismatics have that problem. They worship a God that does miracles, that gives them whatever they want when they ask for it. You know what Job said? The Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away. Blessed be. Blessed is the name of the Lord, whether He takes or gives away. You see, a Christian looks at the Bible and learns it's what God is, not what God does, that earns my respect. Okay? I'm glad He answers prayer. But you know, sometimes He chooses not to. And He's no longer, He didn't step down when He denied my request or when He thought better of something better to do. So, the failure of all other gods is in their nature. It's what's wrong with them. We're going to talk about it. Nita, if you'll look at Deuteronomy 7:9. Deuteronomy, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, fifth book in the Old Testament, chapter 7, verse 9. Give everybody one more second. Okay.
Don't
All right, you better know that the Lord thy God, He's God. All right? And He is the faithful God. So, let's do a quick comparison. This isn't even the message yet. You're going to preach the message to me, okay? I'm just warming you up, okay? You ready? All right. Number one, thinking about all other gods, they cannot stay the same. All other religions, all other religious icons change. They must evolve, they must change, and must develop in order for people to stay with them. Has the Catholic Church changed over the years? Oh, you better believe. All right? You have no idea how much Jehovah's Witnesses have changed. Every time somebody catches them, they're on their 9th edition of their New World Translation, because a Bible believer will show them a verse in there that says Jesus is God, and then they go back there and they rub it out and they put a new line in there. They constantly have to change their Bibles. How many times do we need our Bible changed? Okay? So, these other gods cannot stay the same. Not if they're going to be constantly looked to. But with our God, oh, I'll come over here a second. The second thing about other gods is they cannot promise, they cannot predict, they cannot prophesy the future. These palm readers, these horoscope writers and stuff like that, can they really predict the future? Not at all. The shame, the sadness of people who are desperate to know how things are going to work out. You look into gods that by nature are no gods. another nature about the other gods is they cannot work all things together for good. They can't. There's no way your money, if you worship money, if you love money, like a lot of people do, money cannot work everything out for good. You can buy a little bit of fun, you can buy a house, you can buy a car, but you can't buy a good night's sleep. You can't buy forgiveness. So the things that people look to, and the things that they worship, if they're not by nature the only faithful God, they cannot work anything out for your good. You may have some fun for a little while, but you'll pay for it in the end. And they can't love you back. When was the last time you held up a 50-year note and you went, I love you? And he went, I love you too. It doesn't. You see, years ago, I don't see it very much anymore. I haven't seen it in years. But you see a crowd of people, and they're kissing the bottom, the feet of the Madonna, of the monstrance going through the cities, the villages. And you see people kissing, worshiping, and that statue cannot love them back. You watch in Thailand as multitudes of people kiss and go into regions of India, and they have these gurus, and people are worshiping those men, those filthy, vile, wicked men who sit there and they talk about like they're holy, and they find out they're not. But they go in there, and those men can't love them back. And those idols cannot love them back. Those creatures, Shiva and her, how many arms does she have? I don't know. And those are creatures that cannot love you back. And they cannot die for you. Those are gods. When you didn't know God, those are the kind of gods that we worship. Amen. But our God, let's look at Him now. He's always the same. That's why He's called the Great I Am. Our God who is faithful, He's very different than you. You say, why do you believe that Bible? Because of God. Because the God of that book is the same. He, when they talk about Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and forever, that's a characteristic of God. He knows the end from the beginning. Is that cool? Wouldn't you? Wouldn't you like to know the end from the beginning? Especially when the World Cup's coming up. He knows the end all the way from the beginning. Before He even started to create the world, He laid it all out and He said, this is how it's going to end. He can predict the future. He works all things together for good. Amen. I mean, why would you worship any other God? Mary can't help you like that. Your priest can't help you. But the God who is the faithful God is working all things together for good. You know what? When you love God, you know what you find? God says, the only commandment, the most important commandment I ask of you is to love me. And when you love Him with all your heart, All of a sudden, He loves you back, and you have enough love for the enemies. He loves you back. We love Him because He first loved us. You can't write that. You'll search through the Quran, and you will not find Allah loving people. You won't find it. And He took on. You see, the gods of this world that are not gods, they cannot die for you. And you know, our God cannot die either. But instead of Him saying, whoops, I guess He can't have me, in order to die, He said, I'll become a man so that I can die. That's a great God. That's a great God. He's the faithful God. All right, so you get to preach now. You ready? I'm going to give you a scripture. I want you to look at it. I'm going to read it, and then if you can tell me what it is that God is faithful in that verse, raise your hand. Okay? And you're going to preach it, amen? Don't go, I want to hear it, okay? All right, you ready? So it's kind of like sword drill. On your mark, I'm going to give you the scripture. You look it up, and if you can figure it out, I want you to raise your hand, and I'll let you tell us what He's faithful. And then I'll tell you what I think He's faithful at. We'll see if we agree. Are you ready? First one. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 9. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, and we'll actually look at 2 real quick. 1 Corinthians 1, 9, and don't answer it until we go to go also to John 6, 44. 1 Corinthians 1, 9, I'll read it out loud, and you just keep it in your mind. 1 Corinthians 1, 9 says this, God is faithful. I like that part so far. That's all He has to write, amen? But He goes on, God is faithful, by whom ye were called unto the fellowship of His Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Let's look at a companion scripture, John 6, 44. Back to the left, John 6, 44. No man can come to me except the Father which hath sent me, draw him, and I will raise him up the last day. So, who's got an idea who's the faithful, how God is faithful in that scripture? Besides Andrew. No, I'll let you go. Andrew, go ahead. God is faithful by whom you are called unto the fellowship of His Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. What do you think? Okay. Is that good preaching? Is that good preaching? Come on, say amen. He's constantly drawing, pulling. He's attracting us to Himself. Before I got saved, my problem with God was I thought I had to do a song and a dance. I thought I had to get His attention. I thought I had to do something that would make Him happy. All the while, He was trying to get my attention. Isn't that amazing? God is faithful that He called you into fellowship with His Son. He didn't say, no way, you're not good enough. No, He didn't do that. He said, come on, keep up. It's like a child, a little baby, when they're like, and you say, come on, walk to daddy, come on, yeah. Our Father is awesome, amen. All right, let's look at another one. 1 Timothy 1:15. Good preaching, Andrew. All right. 1 Timothy 1:15. 1 Timothy 1:15. I'll read it. You think about it. If you get the idea of maybe what is faithful, then raise your hand. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. 1 Timothy 1:15. Nita, what do you think? So He's faithful in attracting us, and He's faithful in, what can we say? In saving us. Amen. You know, the Bible makes sense sometimes, doesn't it? Sometimes it's confusing, but a lot of times, it's just good preaching. Amen. Oh, yeah. That's right. And Nita was like, well, that's too bad because Jesus only saves sinners. Yeah, that was good. Go to Hebrews 7:25 just for a good cross reference. Hebrews 7:25. Hebrews 7:25. Still keep talking about how faithful God is in saving us. Hebrews 7:25. Wherefore, he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by Jesus, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. You can write down next to verse 25, thorough. He saves thoroughly. He saves to the uttermost. There is nothing he leaves undone. I can't tell you how many people I have met who, when you push comes to shove and you show them the gospel and you explain to them they must be born again, they're not good enough to get to heaven, that Jesus died for them. They go, oh yeah, I believe that. I think Jesus died for about 90% of my sins. I have to pay for the last 10. Nope. He died. He paid to the uttermost. He thoroughly saves us. Let's look at the third one. Let's go to another one now. Good preaching there, Nita. All right. We let her preach. All right. Next one there. 2 Timothy 2:13. Also find Jude 1:24. 2 Timothy 2:13. And then Jude 1:24. We'll go back and forth if we need to. All right. 2 Timothy 2:13 says this. If we believe not, yet he abideth faithful, he cannot deny himself. Wow, you ever said, I just can't believe. I just don't know how to believe anymore. What does it say? Yet he abideth faithful. Let's look at Jude 1:24. Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. Who knows what God is faithful at in those verses? Yes, sir, Brother Martin. Amen. Yes, sir. Amen. Amen. Excellent. Excellent. That's good preaching. Amen. I just said it this way. He not only faithful at attracting us to himself and saving us, but he's faithful at keeping us. You see, how many, after you got saved, how many have sinned? Yeah! But aren't you glad that when you sinned, after you got saved, that God didn't go, that's it, I'm fed up with these Christians. No. He not only saves, he keeps. It is, that's his faithfulness. It's good preaching, Brother Martin. Amen. Amen. Let's do another one. Do another one. Jeremiah chapter 31, verse 3. Jeremiah 31, verse 3. Jeremiah 31, 3. The Lord hath appeared of old unto me, saying, yea, I'm waiting for you. Yes, ma'am. That's right. Yes, ma'am. I will. It's very easy. How many times did Jesus die? Not a trick question. Once. All right. And according to Hebrews chapter 9, go to Hebrews 9. That's a good question, so we're going to take a little diversion. Hebrews chapter 9. And you're in Hebrews chapter 10, but I want you to go back one chapter and I'll show you something. I don't have my study Bible, so I got to look for my verse here. I don't have my glasses, so I'm going to have to look real close here. It may be. Nope. No, I mean, it's in chapter 10 here. All right. Okay, here we are. If you look in verse 6. In burnt offerings and sacrifices for sins, for sin, thou, this is Jesus talking, thou hast had no pleasure. Then said I, this is Jesus speaking now, then said I, lo, I come, in the volume of the book it is written of me, to do thy will, O God. Above when he said sacrifice and offering and burnt offerings and offering for sin, thou wouldest not, you didn't want, neither hadst pleasure therein which are offered by the law. Then said he, lo, I come to do thy will, O God. He taketh away the first, that he may establish the second. By the which will, by his very will, we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ. How often? Are you with me, Debbie? I'm going to show you. I'm going to show you, but one step at a time. In verse 10, it says, how many times did Jesus offer his body? According to the end of verse 10. By the which will, by his will, we are sanctified. We've been made holy through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. Now, we're not finished. Look at verse 11. And every priest, standing daily, ministering and offering oftentimes the same sacrifices, which can never take away sins. But this man, after he had offered how many sacrifices? One sacrifice for sins forever. How many sacrifices did he offer? One. And he offered one sacrifice for sins forever. He sat down on the right hand of God from henceforth expecting till his enemies be made his footstool. Verse 14 is a clincher. For by one offering he hath... What's the next word? How many of you want to be perfect? I want to be perfect, but guess what? I already am. As far as my sin record, he has perfected forever them that are sanctified. So, here's your verse where it says, if we sin willfully. Now, Debbie, let me ask you this. Have you ever sinned willfully? I think so, too. I don't know you very well, but if you got red blood flowing through your veins, you sin willfully. Not all the time. Sometimes you sin ignorantly. But usually, we know what we're doing when we do wrong, and we want to do it. So, I sin willfully after I've been saved. I have the knowledge of the truth. How many more sacrifices are there? There's no more. So, if I could, let's play this out. If I could lose my salvation, I would lose it the moment I sinned willfully, and I'd never get it back because there's no more sacrifice. Jesus isn't going to die again. So here's the truth. Jesus' sacrifice has to be enough for every sin, past, present, and future. So if I sin willfully, if you sin willfully, there are no more sacrifices to cover them. The one sacrifice will be enough. That's what he's saying. Because to the Jew, they had sacrifices going on all the time, didn't they? They had to bring a lamb always, every year. They had to, if they committed a sin, they had to quickly go to the temple. They had to go to the synagogue. They had to go to the priest. And they offered sacrifices that never took away sin. But this man, Jesus, after he died, there's no more sacrifice. It's a done, finished, perfect sacrifice. Even though I sin willfully, why is hell there? Because if people neglect so great salvation, the salvation's in Jesus Christ. So if you came along and you said, I've got this viral or maybe a bacterial infection, and it's eating up my flesh. I mean, you ever hear of these flesh-eating microbes they've got now, these things? And so it's eating my flesh. And I said, if you come to my clinic, We've got some antibiotics, and it will get rid of every one of those bad guys. You said, no, I'm not doing it. No, I don't believe in modern medicine. I don't want help. I'll take care of it myself. And so you neglect to come and get the cure. What's going to happen? You're going to die. And if somebody neglects to trust the finished work of Jesus Christ, the finished sacrifice, if they just neglect it, if they just say, I'm not interested, it's not that they hate it or reject it, but I don't think I want to get saved now. Then you go to hell. Hell is for people who don't get born again. That's the truth. So, if I'm saved, we all commit sin. There is none righteous even after we're sinned. Now, after... Well, see, now you added new words. It doesn't say that. It says, for if we sin willfully, and I asked you a question, have you ever sinned willfully? And I have, and you have. There remains no more sacrifice for sin. It simply means the one sacrifice that Jesus gave is enough. You don't have to say, oh God, I think I've lost my salvation. You know what that would mean? If you did lose it, he would have to come back down and he would have to die again. And he's not going to do that. His sacrifice is enough to keep you. Now unto him who is able to keep you from falling. Jesus would not invest so much effort to save perfect people who don't sin. They don't exist. He saves imperfect people who do sin, even after they got saved. And if you have not lost your temper and said things that you regret, then you're not human. But if you have, his sacrifice already covered for it. And you should be humble enough to say you're sorry to the person you gave out to and to God for blowing it. But you don't have to get born again. Does that make sense? All right. So, good question. Jeremiah 31:3 says this. Let me read it here. The Lord hath appeared of old unto me, saying, yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love, therefore with loving kindness have I drawn thee. What is God faithful in doing there? In that verse. Somebody raise your hand and preach to me. Jennifer. That'll work. Yep. Amen. Now, you've got great, you've connected with John 3:16, but I want to challenge you. God is faithful. What does that mean? Yes. Whew. He's faithful at loving us. Can he love us any more than he currently is? That ought to blow you away. I can rest in his love. I don't have to impress him. I don't have to try to live up to. I want to please him. But he knows that we are but dust. When was the last time you tried to build something with dust? You can't. You can't build anything. You know what you do with dust? You throw it out. And yet God didn't throw us away. He is faithful in loving us. You do some stupid things. You say, man, I blew it. Oh, God, I don't know how you could love a sinner like me. He said, I loved you when you never loved me. And I still love you now, even though you blew it. Come on, let's get back up and let's go. That's good preaching. Amen. All right, God is faithful. Let's look at another one. We're almost through. 1 Thessalonians 5:24. This is one of my favorite verses. Let's see if you see what I see. 1 Thessalonians 5:24. 1 Thessalonians 5:24. Here's that word faithful again. Faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it. Who knows what that verse is talking about? Brother Tony. Okay. Good, but I'm looking at the word call there. What do you think that means in there? What's that thrown in there? See, I might have used Philippians 1:6 that says, being confident, this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work will perform it, he'll complete it. But I want to listen to the verse again and think about it. Faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it. It's kind of a little bit different than what you're saying. I'm just trying to see. I can draw it out. Graham had his hand up. Let's see if I can see. Okay, I like that. Everybody see that? All right, my kids, I'd say, I need you to run down the Super Value. I need you to get a loaf of bread. get 2 liters of milk, and they go, Dad, I don't have any money. I know that. That's why I'm going to give you a fiver. I enable them to do what I ask them to do. God doesn't ask you to do what you can't. He doesn't ask you to do what you can do, first of all. Let's not get too deep. But He won't ask you to do anything that He won't do through you. He's faithful at using people like us. What kind of people does God use, Brother Dan? What do you think? Simple people. Broken people. Foolish people. Amen. Why? Why can He use broken people, foolish people, simple, I hate that term, but simple people, we know what it means. Why can? Because He's the one who does it. Amen? He's faithful at using us. The broom in our house does nothing. It can do nothing until I pick it up. Amen? And the broom, somebody says, man, you really swear, that broom really does, the broom did nothing. Somebody says, man, that broom works great. The broom did nothing. I did it through it. Amen? I used it to clean up something. And you know, when somebody stands up and they preach or they teach or they win a soul, we did nothing. It was the faithfulness of God using us. Amen? Did you see that, Tony? You see what it's pointing out? You got that? That was my... When God called me to preach, that was the verse that God gave me. Because I needed it. Because this little skinny 17-year-old thinking that I'm going to be a missionary and a preacher, needed to know that God was going to do it and not me. All right. And He's faithful. What does that mean, Tony, when it says He is faithful? Yes. He never pulls away. He's always dependable. You can trust Him. Isn't that a good verse? It's great preaching, amen? All right. I think there's one more. 1 John 1:9. Oh, there's two more. 1 John 1:9. You ought to know this verse. 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Who has an idea on what God is faithful of their grin? So, if I blow it, if I sin willfully, even if I struggling with some addiction, some sin in my life. Is there ever a time where God says, I don't care if you humble yourself. I'm fed up with you, Ledbetter. I'm sick to hear of you. Can He ever get to that place where He will not allow me to say, I'm sorry. Please forgive me. I confess. I agree. I've done wrong. And God says, nope. I'm fed up with you. It's no more. Will He ever be unfaithful to forgive me? He's dependable. So never let the devil say, you've gone too far. Never let the devil say, you've gone too low. Don't ever let the devil say, it's over. God will never get enough. Don't ever say that. All you got to do is humble yourself, and He is faithful. Isn't that good? So what's our answer? He is faithful in forgiving us. Man. That's a good message, isn't it? Amen. You guys are preaching well. One more thought. Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3 and verse 10. Philippians chapter 3. This was kind of stuck in there. I threw it in just for fun. Let's see. When I say fun, I mean it speaks a lot to me, but maybe you might not see it. Let's see. Maybe somebody's really clued in. Philippians 3 verse 10 says, that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection, and the fellowship of His sufferings being made conformable unto His death. Now, this one's a little tricky. This is the last one. But I mean, know Him. Nathan. I like it. How did you know that? You know, Paul is exposing the fact that I get to know Him. He wants to reveal Himself to me. He's not hidden. He's not mysterious. I get the challenge of getting to know Him, and He's faithful to reveal Himself to the likes of scum like me. Amen? It's good preaching. Well done. All right. Look at how it works. I picked Him in this order, but He's faithful in trying to get us to Him. I couldn't find Him, so He found me. He's faithful in saving us. How thoroughly did He save us? To the uttermost. That means to every little nook and cranny in your soul. He saved you. He washed you. He cleansed you. And He's faithful in keeping you. Jesus said it in John chapter 10. He says, "My sheep hear My voice, and I know them, and they follow Me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish." That's a good verse, amen? So, He, when we get saved, He not only saves us, but He keeps us, and He loves us. He loved us when we were unlovable. He loved us when we were lost, amen? And He can't stop loving us now that we're saved. He's faithful in using us. You say, I don't feel very usable. You know, a glove, a workman's glove, does a different thing than a hammer. And a hammer does a different thing than a shovel. Sometimes, we try to use the shovel as a hammer. Some of us guys do that. You know, I can't find a hammer, so you're just burn, burn. All right, shovel makes a very bad hammer. And sometimes you're like, you're trying to do a hammer's work and you're a shovel. Don't get discouraged because you're trying to find what God wants you to do. Don't get discouraged. He's trying to use you. Just find out what He's gifted you for. Alright? He'll be faithful to use you even when you're kind of messed up. And He's faithful in forgiving us when we do mess up. And I just like the fact that, you know, the longer I go along in Christian life, I ought to know Jesus better. I ought to walk with Him in a relationship that's deeper, richer, fuller, more amazing today than it was last year. Amen? So, if He's been faithful, what can you do now? You know, the first thing you can do, you can leave. I like that. Amen. You can trust Him. Listen to this word. I like this word. Here we go, Nathan. Here's a new word for you. Implicitly. What does that word mean? In the office, we throw these words around for fun. What? And nobody knows what they are. Do you know what it means? Nathan started typing into Google. What does implicitly mean, Nita? Completely. You can trust Him without hesitation. No hesitation. You can lean on Him. Amen? If He's faithful, you can trust Him. You can do whatever He calls you to do. He called me to be a missionary, church planner. He called me to teach the Bible. Okay. When do we start? Amen. You can trust Him. You can be trustworthy yourself. I'm sick and tired of Christians not being dependable. I don't think you should call yourself a Christian if you're not trustworthy, if you're not faithful yourself. Amen? You ought to be faithful to your commitments, to your family, to your church. Wouldn't it be nice if we had 130 this morning? Wouldn't it be nice if we had 130 tonight? Amen. You know why they're not here?
Oh, I'm not going to say, huh?
They're not dependable. Yeah, amen. That's the truth of it. They should be, amen. Amen. We ought to be dependable, reliable, and we ought to be faithful to all our commitments. You know, if He's faithful, I guess He wants me to be too. Amen. Let's stand. Let's bow.